When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. This is the show where we help you build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. We love to talk about buy and hold real estate, which I believe when you start a business and you buy real estate, it's one of the number one ways to build wealth. And one of the benefits of that, of course, is the incredible tax benefits of owning real estate, doing it as a business. And I think probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, maybe our favorite guest here ever on the show is Tom Wheelwright. He is the legend. He is the smartest tax accountant probably in the world. He's the head of wealthability.com and longtime friend of our show, as well as great author of the fantastic book. It's required reading. If you listen to this podcast, you must listen to this book or read this book, Tax-Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright. So Tom is joining us today on the show. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Clayton. It is always great to be on your show.
Well, it's always a treat here because, you know, it's funny when we have you on, then invariably, like a few weeks later, we'll get all kinds of great tax-related questions from our audience as things unfold throughout the year. So we kind of create like a bit of a grab bag and of things. I'll text you from time to time, just random questions. So some of those questions will be on today's show. And I thought today we'll just kind of do a grab bag episode. But I really want our audience to pay attention to something. If you're listening or driving, I want you to bookmark this episode. I want you to go back and reference it multiple times because you are going to miss things. Tom is very intelligent and there's things he's going to say that you're going to have to rewind and go back and pay attention to. I want you to get out a pad of paper. I want you to get out a pen and I want you to make some notes and refer to your own tax accountant and make sure that you're doing these things properly on today's episode. So don't just listen to this one time. Go back and make this as a standard reference material. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about your background. So, if someone's new to the show, doesn't know who Tom Wheelwright is, give us a little, rundown of your history and how you became such a tax expert.
Well, so I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and first thing out of high school, I was because I grew up in Salt Lake, Heart of Mormonism. I spent 2 years as a Mormon missionary in France, which was really a great introduction to entrepreneurship, frankly, because you learn all about rejection. And when you're teaching,
it's an important part of business, right?
Catholics in Paris,
right?
But then I attended the University of Utah back in Salt Lake City and received my Bachelor of Arts in Accounting, and from there. Went to the University of Texas, where I received my Master's of Professional Accounting and Tax from the University of Texas. Then I spent 7 years with what's now Ernst Young, and including 3 years in the National Tax Office. So I was there actually the last time before 2017 that we had a major tax major tax change was 1986, and I was actually in the National Tax Office in Washington, D.C. at the time, teaching CPAs around the country how to deal with the new tax law. And then I spent 4 years as the in-house tax advisor for a Fortune 1000 company here in Phoenix, and spent 14 years as an adjunct professor at Arizona State University in their Master's of Tax program. Specializing in multi-state income and sales tax. So a little diversity to my background there. I've actually spent most of my time in real estate over my career, but I took a little detour to do state and local, which is really important because the state taxes have become such a big deal. And then I spent the last 25 years have been building CPA firms. Most recently spent most of my time traveling, speaking and writing and doing great podcasts like this one. And when I travel, a lot of times I'm traveling with our friend Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, and we travel all over the world together. We were just in Romania, as a matter of fact, Romania and Poland and London, doing different events there. And then later this year, we head to Asia. So it's actually fascinating. And then what we do now, primarily what I do now, is besides speaking, is we have built a network of CPAs and tax professionals around the country, currently just in the U.S., and eventually it'll be worldwide, to really just serve everybody that we possibly can, because we have so much demand. When people, first thing they always ask me is, well, how do I find somebody like you, you know, in my city, or somebody that's going to fit? Because obviously I handle a very few number of clients, and they're very, very, very sophisticated. However, we have a network of professionals that handle everybody. So that's our big project right now.
Oh, and it's fantastic. And we work very closely. We should mention that Tom's team does our taxes. So that's a ringing endorsement of what Tom does. We should also mention that if you're interested in working with Tom's team directly and you want to book a call with their team, we've partnered with them so that we can make it easy for you to find and get set up with them. Tom actually was very kind to sort of build a custom approach to the listeners of our show, which is awesome. So if you go to our website, morrisinvest.com/taxes, you sign up, book a call with Tom's team, and they'll get you set up and kind of walk you through their course and really point you in the right direction. Oh, I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, Lumen Skin. Listen, guys, and women, you can listen too. And look, this is so important. And men don't do it. Men never pay attention to this. Women do it every day. They take care of their skin. They take care of their face. That's why they look so good. And men, we end up using soap on our face, like a bar of soap, which is literally one of the worst things you can do for your face. I'm going to tell you about Lumen Skin. I'm also going to tell you how you can get this for free today, just for listening, just for free. You can get the whole package for free. So just stick around for a minute while I explain, because I didn't have any kind of a skincare regimen. You know, I exercise, I dress well, I eat well, I'm building financial freedom for my family so that I can be around a long time and enjoy them. So why don't I take care of my skin better? It's something my wife has been nagging me about for a while. You know, she puts on the SPF, she does all the moisturizing, all that stuff, and I never did. So when Lumen Skin came into my life, they literally changed everything for me, because now you can do this every day, very, very quickly, very simply, and you will look fantastic. So here's how you're going to get a free trial, and you got to go to their website. Just go to their website right now. The only way you get this free trial is go to this URL, and I want you just to browse around and check what they've got. So lumenskin.com/investing. So that's lumin skin.com/investing. We'll have a link in the show notes page, and then you'll get a free trial. Now, there's three different collections you can pick from. So now if you just want like the classic maintenance, you just have you want some moisturizing and you want like, you know, clean face and prevent some irritation after you're shaving, get the classic package. Again, you get it totally for free. So they'll send you the moisturizing balm, the exfoliating rub, the charcoal cleanser, all for free, and you'll just pay the shipping, okay? But here's the one I love. It's the age management one. Now look, dealing with some, you know, signs of aging, getting some bags under the eyes. Well, this particular package will target that specifically. The moisturizing balm, the anti-wrinkle serum, dark circle defense. I was getting that under my eyes. I'm like, look, I'm sleeping well, but what's going on here? The puffiness under my eyes, gone, thanks to Lumen. I really love like the anti-wrinkle serum, because it's just put it on there, a little dab, and you're done. Just in a few minutes. You don't have to spend all night doing this, okay? But it's really great. And guys, you need to start taking care of yourself in this way. And I'm telling you, this is a great way to do it. Stop using a bar of soap on your face. It's like aging you for no reason. You don't need to be doing it.
but you should be able to check it out for free. I love their packaging. It's so simple. And get on that plan where you're getting this shipped to your house on a regular basis. So, but try it for free for the first month. Just give it a shot, totally free on them. They said, hey, listeners of the Investing in Real Estate podcast, we want to give them a free trial. And I said, that's great. Let's do it. You have nothing to lose. Go over now to lumenskin.com/investing and get your free package, the whatever you want to pick. They've got three to pick from. And I want you to tell me your thoughts on Lumen because I love these guys. Thanks, Lumen.
All right. Administrative stuff out of the way. Let's dive into the meat of it today. And, you know, with the new tax law, there's a lot we want to cover today. And again, this is going to be a very dense podcast, but I think this is one of those episodes I believe could change your life. I really believe that. Sometimes all it takes is just one piece of information that could point you in a direction that could change your life. And there's a lot of ground we're going to cover today. So before we get into some of the questions we've had from listeners over the past few months, I wanted to talk about some of the big mistakes that you're seeing right now, because this new tax law, there's a lot of accountants out there that are screwing up, and they're screwing up things for our listeners. And they're making mistakes and people aren't getting the deductions that they should be taking. There's all kinds of problems with this new tax. Not that the law is problematic. It's just the people filing the taxes are creating problems. Can you talk about some of these big mistakes that you're seeing right now in these tax returns?
Yeah, it's actually shocking to me how little work tax preparers have done in preparing for the 2018 filing season. And real estate's a big one. Recognizing that real estate tax law in real estate is very much a specialty. And so a lot of tax preparers are generalists. They're not specialists. And so what happens is that with this new tax law, we have this amazing, amazing tax benefit called bonus depreciation, which if it's done properly with a proper cost segregation, which I know we've talked about on other shows, and then we do the bonus depreciation, we could end up with a deduction equal to as much as 25 to 30% of the purchase price of our real estate, anything we bought in 2018. So that's a big number. I mean, even if you buy a $100,000 property, then that's a $25,000 to $30,000 deduction. And what we're seeing a lot of times is the deduction ends up being $2,000. And we're going, what's going on? Well, you know, my accountant said that, you know, you can't take bonus depreciation on real estate. Well, you didn't used to be able to. That's the new law, you know. And or my accountant said you can only take it on new property. You can't take it on used property. Well, that's the new law. That's the change in the new law. So bonus depreciation is a big one. There's a lot of misunderstanding there, even with big companies. I mean, we're seeing, I'm getting calls from people who are working with syndicators who do big projects, and their accounts aren't understanding it. And they're actually coming to me for advice.
Wow.
So it's pretty scary.
Can you go back and retroactively do that then, if they make that mistake?
You should be able to correct that, yes. Depending on how you filed your return, okay, you should be able to correct it. It's particularly easiest if your real estate is held in a holding company that's taxed as a partnership, because a partnership business return, if you do it before October, which is when they're finally due, they just treat an amended return as a substituted return. So they actually throw out the old return and put in the new return. So it's actually much easier to do on a partnership return than individual return. But it's certainly worth talking to your preparer about if you're looking at your losses for real estate that you purchased in 2018. You're going, wow, my losses aren't that big. My depreciation's not that big. Why not? So that's something to definitely look at. The other thing to look at is we have this new 20% deduction. And a lot of preparers have not understood how it applies to real estate.
So this is the pass-through deduction, the 20%.
This is the pass-through deduction. It's called the qualified business income deduction, and it doesn't just apply to operating businesses. It applies to real estate. And now, if you, it's not going to apply if you have a loss, okay? But I know that there are a lot of people in your world, Clayton, that they pay cash for their properties, and you know they might have paid cash for their properties, you know, 2-3 years ago, and so their depreciation is much lower now, and so they might absolutely have net income from their real estate, and they qualify for this 20% deduction. And we've seen a lot of I've talked to a lot of business owners and investors who didn't even know what it was.
Wow.
And so the preparers hadn't even told them what it was. And I said, well, make sure you go back and look, because you don't want to miss that deduction. I've seen it missed so many times. And it's a 20%, 20% of your net income from your business or your real estate is a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It can completely offset that rental income, especially if you're doing like a new construction property where you've accelerated your depreciation in those first few years with a cost segregation. And so, you would want some of that additional benefit of the pass-through deduction. So, yeah, please make sure, right?
Yeah, those are the two big ones that I see. And you know, a couple that you and I've talked about, Clayton, are, you know, how is interest deductible, right? Or like mortgage interest. Well, if it's mortgage interest that's being used for rental real estate, it's fully deductible. You don't have the limitations that you have on your personal residence. Or if it's, even if let's say you took a home equity line and used that money for investment real estate, the deduction is traced to what you buy. It's not limited to what you use, to what you borrowed against. So that means that you might have this big line of credit, a HELOC on your personal residence that's not deductible as personal residence deduction, but it was used to buy rental property, and now it can be deducted as rental interest expense. Taxes, the same way. Property taxes, they're limited for your personal residence, but they're not limited for your rental properties.
I think there's been a lot of confusion about the HELOC strategy. You know, people have said, and others have said, you know, the HELOC is not as sexy as it once was, because you can't now write off the mortgage interest deduction, you know, if you use it to buy something else. They're just misinformed, right? Can you go into that a little bit further about how that works?
Yeah, so it's a tracing rule. Basically, you trace what the money was used for. So if the money was used for personal purposes, then it's a personal expense. If the money was used for business purposes, it's a business expense. If the money was used for real estate, investment real estate, it's a real estate investment expense. So it's just a matter of, you know, tracing the money. How was the money used? So you could have a $200,000 line of credit that would not qualify under the new, you know, under the law for home mortgage interest, and yet it qualifies under, because it was used to buy your rental real estate.
Right, and that's what we did. We used $200,000 of our home equity line on our one property, the primary residence, to buy rental properties with it. So yeah, don't let people tell you can't use it that way anymore. They're just misinformed. They're absolutely misinformed. So some big changes there. Thank you for, and hopefully, you know, like I said, our listeners, if they want to book a call with your team, jump on the phone, go through, you know, learning some of this stuff, they can just go to morrisinvest.com. That's our website, morrisinvest.com/taxes. And there you can book a call. Tom also has an incredible podcast, the Wealth Ability Podcast. You've got to listen to that. Make that part of your standard listening experience as well. Today's episode is brought to you by one of my favorite sponsors, The Great Courses. Oh yeah, you guys are all lifelong learners, right? That's why you listen to the show. You want to feed your brain and grow and learn new skills. Well, that's where The Great Courses comes in, because school, you know, look, school was about learning practical stuff, right? Marketable skills. But deep down, we still love dinosaurs, space exploration, painting, playing music.
Lucky for us, there's the Great Courses Plus. This service offers a huge library of audio and visual courses on just about any topic you can imagine. And they're all delivered by experts who present the material in a way that's both fun and fascinating. They're experts in this. They explore everything from the mysteries of human behavior or the art of argumentation. Like how can you argue? There's a course on that. To writing great fiction or learning a new language. And with the Great Courses Plus, you can learn on any device and completely on your schedule. It's so great, too, because if you don't feel like watching the courses and you just want to take a walk for 45 minutes, you can download just the audio versions and just walk and listen. Especially when it comes to language, right? That's a great way to learn a new language. And I want you to check out a course you have to check out. And I'm a huge photography fan, and I love traveling, and I love being able to catalog and capture landscapes, waking up at sunrise or sunset when you get that golden hour light, or just portraits of the family, right? You want to be better about it. You want to learn how to take better photos. Well, the Fundamentals of Photography course is fantastic. It's really good because it's from a National Geographic photographer. And I just got my brand new camera about a month ago. I got the Sony A7 III, which I've been shooting. If you see our YouTube channel, Morris Invest YouTube channel, you'll see that I've been using that new camera for a lot of new content. But it's an amazing still camera as well. And I want to know how to use it better. I want to know how to make sure that I'm not, I'm exposing things properly. I'm getting the right light on the eyes of a subject if I'm taking portraits of my kids. So I've been enjoying this fantastic new course from the award-winning National Geographic photographer. I mean, you can take better photos for anything, for work, for family events. If you just do birthday parties, you're not out taking big mountain landscape photos or bald eagles flying around. There's something in this course for everyone, even if it's just about composing a shot better. Here's a little trick that I learned. A lot of parents will take photos of their kids standing up, looking down at the kid. That's wrong. You need to get down to their eye level. That's how you get that magic. If you're above looking down, that's like a 3-foot height difference. Looks like terrible. It's terrible, right? So that's just a little tip and trick that you can learn from a great National Geographic photographer who gets down on his knees into the dirt to capture the eyes of a great animal. So you've got to check it out. I want you to go check it out right now. The Great Courses Plus, I want that to be your go-to source for lifelong learning. And guess what? For a limited time, they're offering my listeners a free full month of unlimited access to their entire library. So take something on your vacation this summer. To access this special offer, you must sign up using my special URL. Here's how you get the special URL. Start your free month trial today. Check out all the courses. TheGreatCoursesPlus.com/investing. That's the URL. It's TheGreatCoursesPlus.com/investing. That's TheGreatCoursesPlus.com/investing. Thanks, guys.
All right, let's dive into some more questions here. Let's talk about whole life insurance. Now, this has been one of the more controversial topics that we've had over the years here on the show. I don't know why, but I guess because, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly why there's a lot of controversy about this, but it is complicated. And I think it scares a lot of people. And some people think if they've gotten burned from doing it, others have said, no, it's fantastic. But I want to talk about the tax side of using whole life insurance in order to, be your own bank. To be your own bank is the promise of whole life insurance. So what are the tax advantages of setting up a whole life insurance plan that you then might use to buy real estate with?
Well, there's really three primary tax advantages. The first, of course, is that your earnings grow tax-free. And as long as you don't cancel your policy, that's the big, when people are unhappy with whole life, it's because they canceled their policy. It's because they didn't keep funding it. They didn't pay it up. And so they're unhappy because they got a penalty for canceling it from the insurance company. And then they got a tax. Then they paid tax because they pulled the investment out of the insurance policy. And that's, you just have to understand that you get into whole life, you need to pay in until it's paid up. And that is the first thing that you have to think about, is that you need to pay in until it's paid up. But the earnings are tax-free unless you cancel the policy. And that means their earnings are tax-free forever. And so That's a big one. And the second one is that when you die, life insurance is proceeds are not subject to tax. Okay, so the proceeds that go to your family or whoever your beneficiaries are, they're not subject to tax at all. Now they could be subject to estate tax. So if you have a big estate, you know, if you're up over that $12 million threshold, then you know you need to do some serious estate planning. But for the average person, they're never going to be subject to income tax or estate tax. The third benefit actually is this kind of in the idea of the banking, you know, you create your own bank, is that unlike in a 401k, if you were to borrow money from your 401k, you're literally borrowing out of that 401k and then paying interest to your 401k. And because of that, you're going to have some limitations on deducting the interest expense. However, not so with a life insurance policy, because what's going to happen is that you don't actually borrow out your cash value. What happens is that you use the cash surrender value as collateral for the loan. And because you've used it, so you're actually paying interest to the insurance company. You're paying to the insurance company. The insurance company, they loaned you the money with the collateral of your cash surrender value. And all whole life policies actually require that they have this provision and that you can use it as collateral. So what that means is that if you borrow using the insurance as collateral, the interest expense, should you use it for real estate, it's going to be deductible as real estate interest expense. So inside, it's continuing to grow, right? Tax-free. And outside, when you're paying the interest expense, when you're paying the interest, it's deductible. So that's kind of a cool little benefit of whole life.
What about the premium payments? Anytime you make a premium payment, is that also tax deductible?
No, premium payments are never tax deductible. And the reason is because the income coming out, it's a matching principle. You don't get a deduction going in because the income coming out is not taxable.
Gotcha.
Not deductible.
Good. Let's talk about a business and how a business is taxed. You know, we talk here extensively about making sure you're buying real estate as a business, you know, that you're set up properly, that you're not buying real estate as an individual. First of all, if someone's new to the show and they don't know why I'm saying that, can we just do some elementary 101? Why in the world would you want to buy real estate as a business, an LLC or an S-Corp or something else, rather than just having it in your own name, your own Tom Wheelwright name?
Well, the primary reason actually is not tax. The primary reason is asset protection. I always tell people that if you look up in the dictionary the definition of tenant, it'll just say plaintiff. So you're
right.
Anybody you know, Clayton, anybody who's been in real estate has been a real estate investor for very long has had a legal issue with a tenant. It's just one of those things. It's going to happen. Okay. Yeah. So you plan on it. Well, you own it personally, then they can, you know, they sue you. They can attach all of your assets, right? If you have it in an LLC, for example, then all they get is what's in the LLC. Now they, you know, they might be able to attach that property in the LLC, but that's why we have multiple LLCs, so they can't attach other properties in other LLCs, right? So we're just trying to protect, frankly, the primary reason for it is to protect our assets from tenants. That really is, unfortunately, that is the primary reason for it. It's also good practice from a business standpoint. It's good practice from a tax standpoint, from the standpoint that if you don't have it in an LLC, taxes, partnership. Now, you mentioned S-Corp. please do not be putting your investment real estate into an S corporation or a C corporation. Please stay away from that. That is just all sorts of bad to do that. So let's put it in an LLC that's taxed as a partnership. Now, it can be you and your spouse. It can be you and your child or you and your child's trust. It can be you and your corporation. But I like to have an LLC with two owners that is taxed as a partnership. One of the things it does from a tax standpoint, it takes it off your personal tax return. And I just like the personal tax return to be as clean as possible and not show all those properties in that on that personal tax return, because you'll turn that over to the bank, right? Well, a lot of times I've actually found that you may turn your personal tax return over to the bank and you've got this, XYZ LLC on the tax return, because that's all you would have if your real estate's in a partnership. The bank may not even ask about it. They may not even ask. It's just, I just like keeping it out of there. You can do it. Okay. I mean, the reality is you can do it. And from a tax standpoint, it frankly is not going to, from a how much tax you pay is probably not going to make a difference.
Gotcha. But now as a business owner, let's just talk about the way a business is taxed as opposed to a person. Now, I should say, you know, we own all of our properties in LLCs, multiple LLCs, and for liability and for protection reasons. But a business is taxed obviously better than an individual. And people will write in often, you know, people will write to us or comments on our YouTube channel or other places, and they'll say, well, look, I'm an individual and I don't have a business, but I still write off my business expenses. I don't need to have an LLC. I know you tell Clayton, you tell people to have an LLC, get a business set up. But a major part of your book, Tax-Free Wealth, is that you're taxed on what's left over after your expenses, right? As a business, you're taxed on what's left over after you pay for your printer paper, and your mileage, and all of those things, right? So what are these listeners missing when they send in a comment like that?
Well, you know, it may be something we're missing. It may be that they're not explaining really what they're doing. I mean, if they have, for example, a business that is on a Schedule C that they own personally, that's not in an entity, it still gets the same deductions. Or if they have real estate that they report on their personal tax return that's investment real estate, it's still a business and it still receives the same tax benefits. So the fact of putting it into an entity does not make something deductible or not deductible. As a general rule, there's certain exceptions to that. But for real estate, there really is practically no difference from a deduction standpoint if you are taxed on your personal tax return or if you're taxed in an entity. The difference is that, you know, if I hear somebody say, well, I don't have a business, but I deduct business expenses, I'm going, well, what you're telling me is that you don't have investment real estate, period. You don't have a business, period. And I don't know where you think you're deducting those business expenses, because there's no place to put them on your tax return.
Right.
So what happened in 2017, now this is a change actually in the 2017 tax law, because before 2017, you did get to deduct a portion of, say, your employee business expenses or your investment expenses on your Schedule A. That deduction was eliminated in 2017. So for 2018 going forward, you don't get that deduction anymore for investment. You only get the deductions if it's a business.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vista Print. By the way, this is the only company I use to print business cards. Yes, when I started my business, when I was out wholesaling and doing door-to-door housing purchasing, I went to Vistaprint to buy my business cards because I wanted a professional look. And it was so affordable, and they did such an amazing job, and their website couldn't have been easier to upload my logo. If I didn't even have a logo, I could build one right on Vistaprint's website. That's how awesome they are. And your next big opportunity is coming right now, and you want to have a proper business card. You want to be able to own the now, and it's only $10 to get your business cards up and running.
That's a low price to have the confidence that you're always ready to make an impression or get seen in a new way. A custom card with the colors, fonts, and designs and images that you choose means you can look and feel like a big deal, whether you're a startup or a business with a century of history behind you. And it doesn't have to be hard. You can upload your own design or start with one of their professionally designed options. Vistaprint offers simple tools and a wide range of templates to choose from. You pick the paper stock. You want it glossy? You want it matte finish? You pick the style and the quantity that's right for you. And then you choose the speed of delivery. You order and receive your cards in as few as 3 days. I couldn't believe it. Like, I made my cards and they were at my house in a big box just a few days later. It's remarkable. Think about this in the 1980s. We'd never be doing this, right? Never. We're in a beautiful age. So Vistaprint only uses carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper. They have dozens of designs that are just right for your business. Your satisfaction, by the way, is 100% guaranteed, or they will make it right, either by reprinting your order or giving you a full refund. But get this, Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners are going to get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com/investing. That's Vistaprint.com/investing. Vistaprint.com/investing to get your cards for just $9.99. Thanks, Vistaprint.
Talk a little bit about just how you're taxed differently as a business. So whether or not we get in the weeds with how they were, you know, structuring things with their personal expenses and writing things off, but what is the what is the benefit to you as a business owner that invests versus an individual that doesn't set up a business and buys property?
Well, here's how the government looks at it. An individual that buys property but they actually get the same deductions. Again, if you don't have an entity, you still get the same deductions as long as it's investment real estate. Now, if you don't have investment real estate, then you're not going to get those deductions. Or if you don't, or a business, right, an operating business, you're not going to get those deductions. And so when the taxes, I'm going to say, not, I can't. Okay, I just can't, because the tax law since 2017 is really now a consumption tax. Anything that's reinvested gets a deduction. Real estate, if it's invested in real estate or in business, it gets deducted. Equipment gets deducted. That's the bonus depreciation. Real estate, you get deductions for bonus depreciation. So, or all your expenses. It can be meals. It can be travel. It can be your car. All of those are deducted. So instead of paying tax on your gross income, you know, the total income that you receive, you're only paying tax on your net income, that net of those deductions. If you're an individual without rental real estate or a business or an operating business, then you don't have any business deductions by definition because you have no business.
Right. And I know it's one thing that, you know, you and Robert Kiyosaki love to talk about, which is, you know, if you're a W-2 employee, you're in the worst possible scenario, right? I mean, it's kind of sad, but it's true, right?
Well, Robert calls calls them tax mules. and it's actually on purpose. It's just so everybody understands that the government has particular things that they want to have happen. They want to have they want housing built. They want commercial real estate built. They want businesses to create employment. They want research and development to be done. And the way they encourage people to take those risks, because they are risks, the way they encourage people to take that on is to give them a tax benefit. So you're basically you're partnering with the government whether you like it or not, right? It's just that, are you a good partner or a bad partner? And if you're a good partner, and basically if you're doing what the government wants you to do, you're going to pay less tax. If you do what you want to do and you ignore what the government wants to do, you're going to pay high tax. So, you know, the way I look at it is if you're paying high taxes, you're really not as patriotic as the person paying low taxes. because a person paying low taxes is doing what the government wants them to do.
Oh, I love that. I have never heard it put that way before, but that's precisely, I mean, that's accurate. I mean, and then if you think about the W-2 employee, and not to sandbag them or to, you know, to throw them under the bus, but you really are, as a W-2 employee, you're not taking risks. You're working for somebody else. You clock out at 5 o'clock, you come home, and you're making another company wealthy by your work for that other company. But you're not helping the government in any appreciable way, and you're not taking risks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you're just not doing what the government wants you to do. And as a result, you're paying high taxes. And, you know, you and I don't make the laws. I mean, and frankly, I don't even care, what the law is, but I want to do what the government wants me to do, because I want to help improve the economy, because I want to help the improve the economy of many people. The reality is what the way businesses pay tax is that their employees pay the tax. That's how businesses pay tax. They pay their employees, and their employees pay the tax. The reality is that the businesses could actually pay a lot lower salary if the employees weren't paying tax. So the idea that businesses are not paying for that tax is ridiculous.
Right.
Okay. The business, the money's coming from the business. The money's coming from the business, you know, what the business is producing. It's coming from production. And so it's required to pay more because of the taxes than it would pay without the taxes. And so it's still, you know, businesses, this whole thing that businesses don't pay much tax is true from a direct standpoint. But because they have all these employees, then they actually are. Now, real estate investors are different because they may have no employees. So who's paying the tax? Well, the renters are paying the tax because the renters don't get to deduct their rent. So right. The business people get to take the tax benefit for providing housing to the renters.
Yeah, and we have an absolute dearth of affordable housing in this country right now. We need millions of units, millions. And we are so, I mean, it's not going to happen for years and years and years. I mean, just look at the building permits right now for affordable housing. It's not happening. Luxury stuff is still getting built. So if you are providing affordable housing, the government's going to reward that. Bottom line, we need it.
Well, and what's interesting is I was talking to somebody yesterday we're recording a podcast that I'm doing coming out with, and we were talking about mobile homes, and he was saying that the municipalities, that's the most affordable housing, but they're not allowing new mobile housing permits because they don't like mobile housing. They don't like mobile homes. And so the municipalities who need the affordable housing, they're saying, okay, we want you to build these really nice apartments and charge nothing for them. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now, there are some tax credits for low-income housing. So if that's something that people are interested in, you should be looking into that with your tax advisor.
Right. And even we've done episodes on opportunity zones as well. Well, not necessarily focused on affordable housing. There's some opportunities there to work with the government and do affordable housing inside of opportunity zones, which is like a double whammy. But again, talk to your tax people about that. I just want to wrap it up with a few quick more questions here on qualifying as a real estate professional. This is something that one spouse can qualify for, right? So you might work a W-2 job and the husband might be, you know, a homemaker. He stays home all day with the kids or does other things. He could qualify as a real estate professional under certain circumstances while the wife is at work, or vice versa. The wife, or the husband works 9 to 5 and the wife is at home. It doesn't matter, right? So walk through what qualifying as a real estate professional does for you and how transformative that can be.
So your losses, like from bonus depreciation, okay, getting back to bonus, those losses from your rental real estate are generally, they're considered passive, which means they can only offset passive income. Well, passive income can come from real estate And if you keep buying real estate, you're going to keep having losses. So you're going to not going to have passive income. What you'd like, what most people would like to do is offset that W-2 income from the person who has that 9-to-5 job, and be able to offset that income with the losses from the real estate. That would be like nirvana, right? So the way to do that is the spouse who's not working full time becomes a real estate professional. Now, being a real estate professional is really simple. Okay, it's two simple rules. You have to work more than 750 hours a year in real estate. That's about 15 hours a week. And you have to spend more time on your real estate than you do all your other jobs or businesses combined. So if you're a homemaker, then it's basically 750 hours. Okay, now we always recommend, go for 900. Don't try to get it. To cut it close, because the IRS always challenges this designation if they audit you. So, but it's that easy. Now, one of the misconceptions that I know you've had from some listeners, Clayton, is that there's this rule that you have to own 5% of the business, okay, or 10% of the there's two different rules. There's a 5% rule and a 10% rule. So let's say let's make the harder one 10%. Well, but if you own your real estate, that you own 100%. So you don't have to own any part of your W-2 job unless your W-2 job is what makes you a real estate professional. So let's say that you're a W-2 contractor, right? So you might be a real estate professional just by being a contractor, even though you don't spend a whole lot of time in your investment real estate, but you have to own a percentage of that contracting company to do that.
Yeah. So to be clear, like let's say you are a contractor and you work for Toll Brothers, which is a big, or Ryan Homes, which builds,
right.
You're a contractor. So you're out there every day, putting roofs on properties, but unless you own 5% of Toll Brothers, you wouldn't qualify as a real estate professional, right?
Now, that is correct.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. But if you are a rental real estate investor and you own properties, that qualifies you, right? And you have 100%.
It absolutely qualifies you. If you spend the time on your rental properties, then that's how you become a real estate professional. That's qualifying. Now, one thing that people sometimes get confused about is you don't get to combine the two spouses' hours to come up with the real estate professional hours. Okay. Only the hours of the person that's going to be the real estate professional qualify.
Gotcha.
So that's important to recognize is that, let's say that wife is working full time, but she spends 200 hours a year on real estate in addition. And husband is taking care of the kids full time, and he spends 600 hours on real estate. There's no real estate professional there, okay? So husband needs to spend, what needs to happen there is a reallocation of resources. Husband needs to spend 800 hours, and then and wife spend, nothing. So you need to reallocate. Right.
Final question here on medical insurance. A lot of people we hear from, they start off with their investments, they set their company up, they're cranking, they become real estate professionals, and then they want to buy medical insurance, for their company because they left their W-2 job. So hallelujah, they're listening, they've taken that leap, they're getting away from the 9-to-5, they're leaving that W-2 job, they're improving their lives. Is there a tax-friendly way to do medical insurance for your investing company or whatever, however you structure it? Is there a tax-friendly way to get medical insurance?
Oh, for sure. Medical insurance as self-employed is deductible. So you get to deduct your medical insurance as a self-employed person. And being in real estate is self-employed. So you do get to deduct it. It's you really don't have to do anything. The tough part is it's tough for individuals to get insurance now. So with what's going on with the Affordable Care Act and the Republicans trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act but not getting rid of it, It's really caused a challenge in the marketplace for people, you know, individuals getting insurance. It's actually made it pretty tough. From a tax standpoint, it's easy.
Yeah. So I always say, you know, look, just if you've got a side hustle that you're passionate about, start a business, right? Start to move in that direction. Start to think about how you can funnel your expenses through your business. If you're a painter, you're a computer programmer, don't just sit there and hack around on the computer by yourself as an individual. Think about how you can really be smart with it, set it up, and then you can write off your medical insurance as well if you do it properly and do everything above board. Well, Tom, I don't want to take up any more of your time. We had a pretty dense show today with a lot of great stuff. Your course, you have an amazing course, which gives really a great framework for how and why you should be deep diving in investing in real estate. But it's not really a real estate course. It's a wealth building course. It's a tax course, and it teaches you all of those strategies. We've set it up so you can go to morrisinvest.com/taxes. Can you tell our audience a little bit about what they could experience if they do go through your course and learn from you?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Like you said, we actually built this program for you and for your people, because you expressed that you had such a need for it. So this is we call it Tax-Free Wealth Roadmap, or Tax-Free Wealth Roadmap Plus. And Tax-Free Wealth Roadmap is a very very comprehensive course on how the tax law works. We get into, I mean, there's 10 modules that you own forever, but you actually get access to all of our modules. So for the first year, so you get access to like over 20 courses on anywhere from what type of entity you should use to home office deduction to cost segregation. We talked about bonus depreciation. So and then we also talk about how do you actually become a professional investor. That, to me, that's actually the biggest part of that. It's not just tax-free, it's tax-free wealth. And so what we want to help you do is actually learn how to become a professional investor. And so it's a fairly simple process to walk through. With the Roadmap Plus, we actually give you access to one of our network tax professionals, and on a monthly basis. So you get to ask your questions, go through the course, ask your questions, and pick their brain, every single month.
That's incredible. So I know I have so many people reach out like, who should I talk to about this? I'm telling you, if you go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com/taxes, book a call with their team at Wealthability and go through the plus version. I mean, telling you, go through the courses and get on the phone with their team once a month. So any questions you have about taxes, how to structure things, and pick their brains. That's what they're there for. So
I would just finally add that as a bit of a bonus, I do 2 webinars a month just for our members, our tax-free wealth roadmap members and our clients. And this is called Ask Tom Live, and you get to ask me questions. That's so awesome. This is I love it. I absolutely love it because I get to hear what's on people's minds, and I get to have direct contact with you. So that's kind of fun.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I always love having you on the show and just dropping some amazing knowledge bombs on us on a regular basis. So it's always great when we have these fresh questions around the new tax law and other things that come up for you to be able to come back and share. We get to ask Tom live ourselves. So thank you as always, Tom. It's always great catching up with you, my friend.
Ditto. Love being on your show and really love what you're doing with, really love the financial education that you're you're putting out there, Clayton. Thank you.
You're so kind. You're so kind. And you know, I must say, please, everyone go and listen to, we have everything in the show notes, but you got to check out Tom's podcast as well. The Wealth Ability Show is so good. And I'm not saying that because we've been guests. I'm saying that because Tom knows the right questions to ask, like a razor. He can get in there like a knife and get right to the heart of it. So that's why it's such a great show. So thank you again, Tom. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. I really want to say thank you. And I really want to say thank you to all of you who are also subscribers to our YouTube channel. We just got in the mail our silver play button today from YouTube, which we passed the 100,000 subscriber mark, but they shipped it out to us after we've hit 120,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So if you're not already a subscriber over there, thank you to YouTube for sending us that. But thanks to all of you who are subscribers and who visit our show regularly over on our YouTube channel, Morris Invest, over there. It means a lot. And thank you so much for that kind feedback. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.